Today's episode of PCS Caregiving is brought to you by the Military Families Learning Network. MFLN invites service providers to online professional development opportunities where they can exchange experiences, resources, and research to enhance professional impact and encourage professional growth. Get connected by going to militaryfamilieslearningnetwork.org. You can also check out additional MFLN podcasts at Apple iTunes by searching Military Families Learning Network. Welcome to PCS Caregiving, where we discuss a variety of family caregiving issues and how helping professionals can better serve military families as they PCS from their role as a spouse, friend, partner, or loved one to a caregiver. I'm your host, Rachel Browner. Join us each episode as we feature unique caregiver issues, tips, strategies, resources, and subject matter experts on this PCS caregiving journey. Welcome, everyone. For those of our listeners that are not familiar with the military acronym PCS, it stands for Permanent Change of Station, and the term is commonly used in the military as service members and families transition to different duty stations, but it can be useful in describing the transition military caregivers experience as they care for wounded warriors or individuals with special health care needs. Over the course of the next four episodes, we're going to focus on grief and loss. We'll discuss how to find balance, stages of grief, physical and emotional toll of grief, and how to respond. Joining me for the four episodes is Andrew Crocker. Andrew is an extension program specialist in gerontology and health at Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. Welcome, everyone, for today's episode on balancing loss and gains. Thanks for listening, whether you're a caregiver, provider, family member, or just an interested podcaster that wanted to find out more information on caregiving. Thanks for joining us. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to be focusing on grief over the next four episodes. And so just a little background on grief. Any kind of loss can make us feel grief. And so we often find that we only think about grief as a response to death. But gains and losses happen throughout our lives in a variety of different situations. And those losses often trigger some form of grief. And so the greater the loss, the more profound the feelings of grief. Grief is not pleasant, as you all know, and it can lead to sadness, depression, anger, guilt, and many other physical, social, emotional, and spiritual symptoms. Note that grieving is a positive process, not a negative one. So grief helps us heal even in the deepest emotional wounds. It isn't productive to think you or I can or should avoid it, nor is it productive to think that we can overcome grief or we have to overcome grief in any way. And so Andy, as we talk today, can you provide some of our listeners with more information on how to balance grief and maybe a framework for overcoming loss?
So when we talk about balancing gains and losses, it's helpful to think about gains and losses in a framework. And today we're going to talk about the SOC model. And SOC is S-O-C, and it stands for Selection, Optimization, and Compensation. We don't often think about socking our way through life, but we really are. In the selection part of it, we choose our activities and goals. And in optimization, we engage in behaviors to achieve those goals. And then in compensation, we respond to changes that are due to behaviors no longer being available. So let me give you an example. When I was but a child, I got held a lot. And one day my parents put me on the floor and I decided that if I pulled up on my knees that I could get around a lot better, until one day I decided that I could pull up on my feet and it was way more efficient. And then I walked and ran, and now ripe into my age, I'm pretty good at walking and pretty good at running. I don't fall down a whole lot. So I selected that as a mode of being able to get around, and I optimized it. So rolling around on the floor was not as optimal as crawling, which wasn't as optimal as walking, which isn't as optimal as running. So in that example, I've selected and then I've optimized. If when I get up here in a moment, I fall and break my leg, I don't return back to that primordial ooze of just laying around on the floor. I compensate in some way? And we have internal and external factors that help us compensate. So my internal factor, is my ability to critical think and to adapt. So I go to my health provider and he or she casts my leg. And then there are external factors like crutches or one of those scooter carts or a wheelchair. And then there are other external factors like curb cuts that can help me get up on a sidewalk better and elevators instead of stairs. So in this way, I have socked my way through this adverse event in my life. I've selected, optimized, and compensated to a change in me or a change in my environment. Oftentimes when we experience a loss or when a loss is overpowering, it is because we cannot think our way out of being able to compensate. And perhaps there is no way to compensate. Perhaps we've experienced something so heinous or so challenging or so unique that there is no way to compensate, but we experience grief then because of that loss. So often grief is triggered by the fact that we cannot compensate. And when we think about the most prevalent reason we experience grief, it's because of a death. There is no way to compensate for the loss of life. And so we grieve that. If we lose a job, often we grieve that loss, but then we compensate by finding a new job or finding a way to meaningfully engage with our community through like volunteer work or some other mechanism. And it is the grief becomes overwhelming due to the loss of that job when we can't compensate for it anymore. If we think about family and relational roles, we grieve the loss of a spouse or the change in a spouse, perhaps, or the change in a family member who may be suffering some mental or emotional trauma. And we try to optimize and compensate for that new relationship, that new normal, but we experience grief and loss because of that change. And our grief and loss becomes more profound if we are unable to compensate for that change, if we're unable to establish that new normal. So we sock our entire lives. And truly, when we experience the most profound feelings of grief and loss is when we're unable to select, optimize, and compensate to move forward, either intrinsically or extrinsically.
Before we continue with today's episode, we have a message from our sponsors. Are you a military service provider that needs continuing education credit for your professional licensure? The Military Families Learning Network offers free online courses for case managers, social workers, licensed professional counselors, and marriage and family therapists at agrilifelearn.tamu.edu. Simply search Military Families within the website and click on the course that provides CE credit from the accrediting association of your choice. Now, back to the show.
So when we talk about grief and loss, we can talk about it in a variety of different ways. And we'll focus on sudden versus predictable versus ambiguous losses. And then we'll also talk about some anticipatory grief. So with sudden loss, it's an immediate or tragic loss. So again, we think about death, or we think about losing a job, or an immediate change in our situation that we aren't prepared for and we weren't expecting and we don't necessarily know how to react to. Now, that doesn't mean that in a sudden loss we can't select, optimize, and compensate. We can go through that framework. Again, it may just take us a little bit. And our immediate concern in a sudden loss may not be, how do I get through this? I mean, we want to grieve a little bit, or we need to grieve a little bit before we start trying to pull up our bootstraps and move forward. So a sudden loss hits us hard and fast, but it doesn't mean that we can't come back from it or recover. In a predictable loss, we see it coming. And so someone who's a caregiver for someone experiencing a chronic illness or a terminal illness, may experience the predictability of loss. We know that the end is near or the end will come soon. Again, if we have enough lead time and we know that our employer is going to be laying off, you know, 70% of the workforce, and it's likely to happen to me, then that is a predictable loss that I can start looking at how I'm going to select, optimize, and compensate. Sometimes our losses are ambiguous, and this is a little harder to quantify, but I use the example, or I'll talk about this in the terms of a caregiver for someone with a form of dementia and maybe advanced dementia. So perhaps a husband and wife, and he has dementia and doesn't recognize the wife as his spouse anymore. And maybe he recognizes her as his sister or his caregiver or something like that. The loss hasn't occurred because for the caregiver, the man that she married is still there sitting across the room from her, but she has experienced ambiguous loss because her role is no longer certain. Her meaning to him is no longer certain. His meaning to her is no longer certain. And so she's experiencing a type of ambiguous loss where, you know, it's hard to quantify what she's going through, what she's experiencing, but a loss has definitely occurred there.
Thanks, Andy, for discussing gains and losses with regards to grief and for being on our podcast today. We're excited to have you on for the next 3 episodes as well as we continue our conversation on grief and loss. I really liked your explanation on the SOC model that select, optimize, and compensate as caregivers move forward into their new role, as well as I appreciate you contextualizing not only for our audience, but for myself as well, that sudden versus predictable versus ambiguous loss or anticipatory grief. You mentioned that grief comes in many forms. And so for our listeners, something to be thinking about is our next episode, Andy's going to identify grief and distinct patterns as it relates to sign and symptoms such as denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. So don't forget, join us next episode as we continue our conversation on grief and stages of grief as Andy unpacks each sign and symptom for us. Support for the Military Families Learning Network is from the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Office of Military Family Readiness Policy, U.S. Department of Defense.